following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. This morning, as has already been mentioned, we are celebrating the second Sunday in the season of Advent. An Advent is this pre-Christmas season set aside in preparation for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord. I know that here at Emmanuel, we don't always stick super closely to the liturgical or the traditional church calendar. We do to some degree. We celebrate Advent. We recognize the season of Lent. At times, we have been more or less intentional about Pentecost or Trinity Sunday or All Saints Sunday, those sorts of things. I have, though, friends and colleagues. One of them has like his doctorate in liturgy, so he cares a whole lot about the liturgical calendar, and the vast majority of his Facebook posts in this season reflect that. But that means for these folks that in Advent, these weeks, they are not willing to sing any Christmas carols. Those are just a no. No Christmas carols or songs, no Christmas hymns. Only Advent songs. Only Advent hymns. And which ones are those, you might ask? Right? Those are ones like Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People, O Come, Emmanuel, and a whole bunch of others that are significantly less well-known than that. But they are songs about waiting. They are songs about expecting. They are songs of longing, longing for a Savior. An Advent is about these things. It is about waiting. It is about expecting. It is about longing and anticipating. And so these Advent songs are quite appropriate for this season. But Advent is also about who it is we are waiting for. And we know who that is. It is Jesus. And so we as a church family hold in tension the waiting and the knowing. Right? We wait and we long to celebrate the birth of our Lord, a Savior that we know well, a Savior who knows us well, a Savior that is a part of every aspect of our lives. And so we sing these songs of joy, songs of celebration, songs of Christmas, because we know who it is who will be born on Christmas morning. We know who this child is. And this year, that is the very theme that we are encountering here in Advent. What child is this? This child is Jesus. And here's what that means. Each week, we're going to hear from a different character who is a part of the Christmas story. And we're going to hear how they answer this question. What child is this? Last week, we met a shepherd. A shepherd who was physically awake in the fields when the angels appeared and told him of the Savior born that day. The shepherds went to visit this baby, to visit Jesus, and the shepherds found there a whole new kind of being awake. They were awake to Christ. They were awake to a Savior, to the Messiah. They were awake to the truth that they, lowly shepherds, were seen and known and valued and loved by God. By the kind of God who spoke through a chorus of angels and the God who came to earth as flesh, as a baby lying in a manger. In her book, An Altar in the World, Finding the Sacred Beneath Our Feet, the author and Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Wherever you are, you live in the world, which is just waiting for you to notice the holiness in it." wherever you are, you live in the world, which is just waiting for you to notice the holiness in it. I would suggest that that is a great way to think about being awake in this Advent season. The shepherds saw the world anew, and they encountered holiness in this baby. And they were awake in a completely different way. And so as we continue in our Advent journey, meeting three wise men this morning, may we be awake to the holiness that we find here and in the holiness we find in the world around us. But before I get into our reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, wake us up this morning. Wake us up to the truth of your love, the truth of your presence, the truth of your Spirit among us. Speak to us through your word, Lord God, and help us to know your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's take a look at our text this morning, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Ah, the wise men, the Magi, we three kings. Who are these guys? We don't know a whole lot more than what we read here. The Greek word is magos, which most often is translated wise men, sometimes magi. But it's a term for people who take a special interest in seeking and navigating using the stars. But we don't know a whole lot more about them other than that. We know they came from east of Bethlehem, somewhere. There's plenty of speculation about where, but east. We know they are seeking the newly born King of the Jews. And so they had heard of that somehow. We know that they are coming to worship Jesus. And perhaps most strikingly, we know that these men were not Jewish. The fact that these three Magi were the first people that Matthew mentions meeting Jesus is a really big deal. Matthew spends the first 17 verses of chapter 1, laying out the heritage and the genealogy of Jesus, going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, also called Israel. Matthew makes a point of telling his readers about Jesus' Jewish, Israelite, Hebrew heritage. But then the first people to meet Jesus after Mary and Joseph that Matthew feels are important enough to mention are these three Magi, three Gentiles. Can you believe that? How shocking must that have been for early hearers of the Gospel of Matthew. We just spent the fall reading the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, right? The Pentateuch. Five books dedicated to the beginnings and the foundations of the Israelite community. Five books dedicated to what it would look like for this people, the Hebrew people, to enter the Promised Land. Five books that taught us what a big deal it was for the Israelite people to have a faith community of their own, to be set aside as the chosen people. And now, Matthew tells us that some of the first people to come and meet the Messiah were not Israelites. We're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. This is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And what does it mean? Well, it means that just as we read the shepherds were told last week, that there are no boundaries put on who Jesus was born unto. The birth of the Messiah is good news for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And here they are, the Magi, seeking the King of the Jews, seeking the Messiah, the one they heard about. Right away, the Gospel of Matthew makes a bold declaration that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is born not only for the Israelite people, but for people from all around the world. And these people will seek him, and they will find him. That is good news, indeed, for all people. It's impossible, I think, to ignore the themes of travel, especially in chapter 2 of Matthew, as we continue on. We see travel on good terms, and we see travel in fear, a theme that continues on further into Matthew 2 with Joseph and Mary's flight as refugees to Egypt. And with that theme so evident, it's hard not to see it or read it in comparison or keeping in mind the current realities in the city of Bethlehem, a place where travel to and from is extremely restricted. One of the things that I purchased there, I purchased from there and it was shipped, and so I can't pick it up because things will fall off, was I told you I was going to do it myself. Only when it's Erica doing the slides can I say that. I purchased this nativity set. And this side looks pretty familiar, right? Like this feels like a pretty standard nativity set. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in a little hut, a shepherd, some animals, there's a palm tree. This is the way we usually see things, right? The backdrop on this side can sort of be missed. Like it almost just, you know, it kind of seems like a wall that just sort of disappears because it's the backside of, you know, their hut. But then you turn it around and you see the other side. And we see our Magi on the other side of the modern separation wall between Israel and the West Bank, blocked from meeting their Savior, our Savior. It's a striking image that is clearly antithetical to the message we read about here as the Magi traveled to meet Jesus. Because in Jesus, barriers like this are broken down. Ethnic barriers are broken down. Religious barriers, social barriers, financial barriers, even physical barriers are broken down. In Jesus, we are not separated from those who are different from us. Because Jesus separates himself from no one who seeks him. All are welcome to the manger, to the feet of Jesus. We ended our reading and our encounter with the Magi this morning with an important sentence in verse 12, which reads, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." I haven't even really gotten into Herod's role in all this. We heard our wise man, our Magi, talk a little bit about it. But Herod is a pretty horrific person. And we read about the horror that he causes just verses later. But he's someone who acts out of fear, a fear of losing his power. He's crafty, for sure, and he tries to trick the Magi into doing his bidding, but God clearly has bigger plans for these Magi. And they are warned not to go back to Herod. The Magi are sent home. They're sent home with all they have seen and heard and experienced. They're sent home with the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Messiah of their people as well. They are sent home to share this news. Last week, too, we read of shepherds who returned home, praising and glorifying God. The focus of both of these accounts is first and foremost meeting Jesus. Right? That is clearly the focus. That's the most important thing. Meeting Jesus comes first. But we also read that they do not stay there. They don't remain at the manger, worshiping. They are sent home because the story needs to be told. Because this truth needs to be told. Because this baby, this Messiah, the Savior, the Word made flesh, needs to be shared with the world. And just like the shepherds returned home, just like the wise men were instructed to return home, you and I are meant to return home with this good news, with the good news of the birth of the Savior. We come Sunday mornings to worship at the manger, to worship at the cross, to worship at the feet of Jesus. But we are not meant to stay here. We are sent. Each week we are sent. We are sent into the world. We are sent to the place in the world where we live, where we work, where we encounter people to tell of the Jesus that we know. To tell of the Jesus who breaks down every imaginable barrier. Barriers put up by governments, barriers put up by individuals, barriers that we even put up ourselves. Jesus breaks those down and invites us all, every one of us, to meet him, to see him, to know him, and to be known by him. This Advent season, may we be awake to those opportunities to return with purpose to the places we encounter people who need to be introduced to Jesus. Be here. Worship. Bring all that you are to worship the King, the baby, the Messiah, God in flesh for you. But go and be sent, seeing the world anew and ready to experience the holiness all around you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of your Son, for sending your Son Jesus for all of us. We thank you that the barriers are broken down through Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those places in the world where barriers cause your people harm. We ask God for your presence, for your protection, for your wisdom, and for your guidance as we live in and are your witnesses to a broken world. Help us, God, to follow the example of the shepherds and the Magi, to return to the places where we live and work, telling of all we have seen and heard, celebrating and praising you for your Son. And we pray this all in the holy and precious name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.